Hey, Bruiser Buddies, this is Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty.
Before we dive into the episode, make sure you hit subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening on. Also, follow me on X at The Dave Dynasty and subscribe on YouTube by looking up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty. You can also buy one of my shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com/TheDaveDynasty. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome to 1 hour of the toughest, roughest wrestling you'll ever see.
That's right, Dick the Bruiser, set it off.
The big question, have you got the endurance? Have you got the brain to get past the excellence of execution?
Does they think they got the answers? I change the questions.
This is Jim Cornette, and the views that I'm about to express are not necessarily those of anybody else but me, but they ought to be, and as a matter of fact, they probably are.
The reason why Ax and myself were put on this earth is to demolish people.
Bobby Heenan, that is a very good-looking sport coat you've got on.
Yeah, and I paid for mine. Mine is in government issue.
Yellow. Ready, Lance Russell and Dave Brown right along ringside. By golly, we're ready to go with another big week of championship wrestling.
Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. I am your host, Dave Dynasty. Thank you for joining me once again. And on this episode, I am going to take a deep dive into the WWA for December of 1984. I will discuss the TV results, show results, news, plus I'll include audio clips. So basically, I'm going to be giving a chronological telling of the month in WWA history. If you're looking to hear more WWA history, you've come to the right place. I share countless newspaper clippings, pictures, etc. on social media, but I also have done many interviews with former WWA stars. I also have 4 WWA history overview episodes, 1964 to 1969, 1970 to 1973, 1974 to 1985. Those 3 are all with Richard Vycheck. And then there is a 1986 to 1989 discussing the Bruiser Bedlam years with Jerry Graham Jr. I also have a few group interviews with former WWA stars where we have several of them together, telling stories, discussing the memories, lots of times reconnecting. So be sure to dig through the archives of the podcast for lots of WWA history. Also, if you enjoy the history of the WWA that we cover on the show, with the interviews and the deep dives, then be sure to purchase a shirt. I have official shirts endorsed and benefiting the talents themselves for Jerry Graham Jr., El Bracero, Don Kent, Chris Carter, Stormy Granzig, Mitsu Arakara, Jack Kruger, plus some other designs. Just visit ProWrestlingTees.com/TheDaveDynasty to order, or you can just click the link in the show notes. All right, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to set the stage for December of 1984 in the WWA. Phil Singer Games is a tabletop cards and dice game company that has enjoyed success for over 3 decades. Their first game was Champions of the Galaxy and was released in 1986. Champions of the Galaxy is a tabletop game that features professional wrestling over 100 years in the future. Humans, aliens, and monsters battle in the Galactic Wrestling Federation for belts. Legends of Wrestling features officially licensed wrestling cards featuring stars like Ted DiBiase, Jimmy Snuka, Harley Race, and many, many more, including game sets for independent promotions. Each match takes place in real time. The action is fast and furious, and all the things that happen in pro wrestling, like cage matches, outside interference, 3-man tag matches, they also happen in the games. You have the opportunity to run your own wrestling promotion involving either real life stars or fictional characters of the future, or you can mix and match both. Visit PhilSingerGames.com for more information and to order the games today. That is Filsinger Games, FilSingerGames.com to order now.
If you like horror movies, be sure to check out Dave Dynasty and Ike Isaacs on the Listen to Their Screams Horror podcast. It is available on all podcast platforms and on social media at Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number two, in Screams.
Okay, so in 1983, Wilbur Snyder retired from wrestling, and he sold his shares of the WWA to Dick the Bruiser. So as we kick into 1984, and the year is coming to a close, the WWA has obviously diminished in its impact, its product, its attendance. The nationalization of pro wrestling, along with the growth of cable TV, it hurt all the territories, who now look minor league compared to the national companies. But Bruiser continued to run shows, and he did okay. But we are in the final couple of years of the WWA having its home in Indianapolis before Bruiser sold, and it was moved to Detroit and then to Toledo. Excuse me. So coming into December of 1984, the champions in the WWA were the Great Wojo, who won the singles title on July 28th in Indianapolis from Stormy Granzig. On the tag team side, the champions were the World Warriors, Supermax and Mad Max, managed by Saul Creechman, who won the titles from Dick the Bruiser and Jeff Van Camp. It was also on the July 28th show in Indianapolis. Now, just as a little background, the WWA weekly television show aired on Sundays at 1 p.m. Eastern in Indiana on WRTV Channel 6. The show was hosted by Dave McLean and had appearances from George Cannon here and there, doing a little bit of commentary, a little bit of interview. He would pop up from time to time. The WWA crowds were still respectable, but not in the range of their prime years, certainly not comparable to those of the national competitors. But Dick the Bruiser continued to hold onto the belief that his style of promotion and his name could maintain business. He really never fully gave the attention over to the younger talent who might have made a bigger impact at the time. But that was, you know, that happened in a lot of the territories. So there you have it. There's a little background as we dive into it. So let's get into December 1984 of the WWA. The month kicks off on Saturday, December 1st, with a show at the Tyndall Armory in Indianapolis. In the main event, Dick the Bruiser defeated the Great Wojo in a no time limit, no disqualification flag match. Now, that is, each man had a second. Bruiser had Moose Cholok. Wojo had Jerry Graham Jr. And the second had to wave a flag, basically giving up for their counterpart. So for the finish, Bruiser pinned Jerry Graham Jr. upside down in the corner, stuck a flag in his hand, and made him wave the flag for Wojo. And the referee allowed that, apparently. And so Bruiser won. Then we move on to December 2nd. We have television. That's a television episode would have aired. But unfortunately, this is the only... We don't have a copy of this episode yet. It may turn up. I may have it still in the tapes, yet to be found. But at this time, there is no copy of the December 2nd, 1984 TV episode. It's the only one from this month that we don't have. So we can't really talk about that episode. On Tuesday, December 4th, it would have been promo day at the WRTV studios, where talent would come in, obviously cut their promos, plugging upcoming shows, upcoming matches, and what have you. As you'll see, if we go to the course, there's just a handful of guys that they're used on promos, leaning heavy into Dr. Jerry Graham Jr. and Saul Creechman, which those two are the leading heel wrestlers slash managers in the promotion. So then they would have had a show on Wednesday, December 5th in Hammond, Indiana, and then on Thursday, December 6th in Anderson, Indiana, but both of those got canceled due to snow. But on Friday, December 7th, there was a show in Paris, Illinois, and it was headlined by a 12-man pole battle royal. Folks, I can't tell you what a pole battle royal is. I'm not familiar. I'm not sure. Maybe I've seen one and I don't know. If anybody has any insight into exactly what a pole battle royal is, let me know. Is there something on a pole? I don't know. Then on Saturday, December 8th, they had a makeup show in Hammond, which was also snowed out. And then also on the 8th, the WWE ran a show in Fort Wayne, Indiana, that saw the Great Wojo defeat Bobo Brazil in the main event. On December 9th, 1984, we're back with a new episode of television, which featured Abdullah the Great, managed by Saul Creechman, against Terry Crisman. WWA champion the Great Wojo against El Bracero. King Harley Hog against El Bracero, the Wild Hog against Moose Cholock, and the WWA Tag Team Champions, the World Warriors, against Bobo Brazil and Bobby Colt. Now, guys, I guess I should mention that these episodes of TV, there's four episodes we're going to talk a little bit about through the show. If you want to watch these, click the link in the show notes. Go to my YouTube channel. I have all four episodes there in their entirety. You can watch them there. Okay, so before we move on, let's pause here and let's listen to a little bit of audio from Bobby Colt and Saul Creechman and the World Warriors plugging the December 15th show in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Hey, night fans, you're in there, Bobby, with Bobo and that no disqualification everyone's speaking of.
That's right, just what we wanted, baby. No disqualification, Maxes. Those belts are on the line. We had you beat the last time. We let it get out of hand. We got ourselves disqualified. This time it doesn't matter what we do. We're going to whoop you. We're going to be champions.
Fans, Bobby Cole and Bobo Brazil, that no disqualification, first time ever, also that 20-man pole battle royal, all next Saturday night. And now, let's hear from the Maxes.
Pain and drinking the wine and having $10,000, baby, divided among three. That's $3,333 among each of us, and I can't wait. He's going to buy another car.
Both of them, though, we must note, are in a bit of a semi-daze. They were bloodied and battered and beaten tonight. You're going to see it next Saturday night, the rematch, fans.
All right, and then we go on to Tuesday, December 11th, which once again be promo day at the WRTV studios. Then on Friday, December 14th, the promotion returned to Terre Haute, Indiana. The main event was Dick the Bruiser and Moose Cholock defeating the World Warriors in a non-title tag match. Saturday, December 15th, the WWA was back in the Tyndall Armory in Indianapolis for a show that was headlined by a 20-man pole battle royal, which was won by El Bracero. Then we go on to December 16th, 1984, another episode of television featuring The Great Wojo against Gary Lawler, Leroy Redbone versus Roger Ruffin, Jerry Graham Jr. versus El Bracero, Bobby Colt and Mad Max, managed by Saul Creechman, versus Calypso Jim and Jeff Van Camp, and then Saul Creechman's Hooded Hangman against Dick the Bruiser. Now, there might be a couple of questions that might rise as we talk about that, right? First of all, everybody always wants to know. They hear Gary Lawler. What's that? Gary Lawler was a lookalike wrestler from the Midwest. If you search through my archives on any social media and look up Gary Lawler, you'll find a picture of him. He looks a lot like Jerry Lawler. And he did, you know, he wore the same getup, the same tights, singlet with the one strap, billed himself as being from Memphis. And they also often billed him as being the Southern heavyweight champion. They tried to play it off at times here and there. They didn't really discuss it a lot, but in some places they would play it off like, oh, Gary's his cousin or whatever. Bruiser was notorious for kind of trying to spell Gary with two R's and this and that, or with an E. So it literally kind of was pronounced like Jerry, or in the papers maybe looked like a typo, I guess presumably to get people to believe that Jerry Lawler was there. And from a distance, one might believe that, I guess, if they were there and they didn't know any better. But yeah, Gary Lawler, obviously, you know, I've heard stories. He was a great guy. He was a pretty good worker, actually. But he did look a lot like Jerry Lawler, and that was the thing he did, the look-alike as Gary Lawler. Leroy Redbone, it's a name you'll hear over time if you listen to us and talk about it. That is Dick the Bruiser's son, Carl Atlas, who had his troubles in life, no longer with us. But he did wrestle as Leroy Redbone. It was a pretty good heel at the time. So Roger Ruffin, of course, a very well-known, very prominent Midwest wrestler for many, many years. Very, very talented, ran some great shows, based around, I'm not sure, but ran some great shows in the Cincinnati area later, went on to that success. So, and then all the others, again, are staples of the WWE. Jeff Van Camp went on to become Lord Humongous following Sid Vicious down south in Continental, had some time in Mid-South as well. Hooded Hangman, everybody wants to know the Hooded Hangman. Who's the Hooded Hangman? Who's the Hangman? Right, because there's so many Hooded Hangmans. This is Rob Westman, who was a very, very talented, large, he was a big guy, but he's a very talented amateur wrestler from Indianapolis, or excuse me, from Indiana. I'm not sure if he's from Indianapolis itself, but who Bruiser trained, worked with, had a run there. Very nice guy. There is an interview with him in the archives. He's, again, no longer with us. So, all right, let's right now then take a little break. We got some more audio, And this is coming from Dr. Jerry Graham Jr.
Saturday, December 29th, you're going to see it for the heavyweight championship. 15-foot-high steel mesh cage for the title, Bruiser versus Wojo.
You know, when I take a look at Dick the Bruiser, this is a pretty good example of what happens when cousins marry cousins. You know, Bruiser, you've been shooting your mouth off. You're saying you're going to hurt Wojo. You're going to injure him. You're saying he's never going to make that cage match. But I'm telling you that he is going to make that cage match. I'm telling you that we're going to settle this in a steel cage where it should be settled. This time it's for the title, Dick the Loser. This time you and Wojo are going to be locked in a cage. Nobody goes in, nobody goes out. The championship on the line, and I'm going to be there to relish this, Bruiser, to enjoy this, to bask in it, to have it radiate. I mean, Wojo's magniloquence radiate upon me, the heavyweight champion of the world, the WWA heavyweight champion, the most prestigious belt in wrestling today. This is the man that has challenged all other champions. Bruiser, you're the only one stupid enough to accept this challenge. Everybody else is running scared. And you're going to pay for your stupidity, Bruiser, because the road to hell is paved with good intentions, Dick the Bruiser. But those good intentions are not going to be enough with that steel cage 12 foot high surrounding the ring. You and Wojo, no disqualification, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. I am going to be so exuberant. I am going to be so turned on.
Okay, and as we are in the vicinity in 1984 of the Christmas holiday, shows are light. They would often take a break in this area. They would usually run somewhere around the Christmas, like one show we'll talk about here in a second, kind of a big Christmas spectacular type show, right? Used to be annually in Indiana, but in these later years, it wasn't always, in Indianapolis, but in these later years, it wasn't always. But there's not really any shows around this area before we get to the next episode of television, which was on December 23rd and featured The Hooded Hangman, managed by Saul Creechman versus El Bracero, Jerry Graham Jr. against Chris Carter, Terry Pike, managed by Saul Creechman, against Alice Cooper, that's a women's match, the Wild Hogs, also managed by Saul Creechman, against Terry Crisman and Calypso Jim, and then the No DQ, No Time Limit flag match from December, the December 1st show, The Great Wojo versus Dick the Bruiser, one we talked about earlier. So if you're interested in that match, again, watch this episode, you'll get to see it. I would assume mostly in its entirety. It's been a while since I've watched this. Terry Crisman's a name that pops up a lot. I'm not sure who he was. I think he was just a local wrestler that was trained, coming out here working for Bruiser. I don't know that he went on to do much more than this. I could be wrong on that. I've never really taken a deep dive to look into Terry Crisman. I'm sure it'll happen at some point because I usually do. Again, we have a Jerry Graham Jr. against Chris Carter, right? This is a WWA rivalry for the ages, goes on and on, a highlight of the Bruiser Bedlam years to come. These two were super talented, knew each other well, and could work fantastically together. And this becomes a very, very good feud for the WWE going on. But here they are working each other here because, you know, I mean, Bruiser used them pretty prominently, but, you know, they get to work each other on these shows. So, all right, that's that television episode. And let's take a pause to listen to some more audio, this time from manager Saul Creechman and the World Warriors.
Now, let's hear from the Maxes. Next Saturday night, fans, you're going to see the 15-foot-high steel mesh fence match. That's right, Bruiser versus Wojo, and also you're going to see Colt and Yukon Moose versus your heavyweight champion.
Bobby Colt, the slob, and Moose Cholak, the blob, in there against the Maxes, Super Max and Mad Max. What a great combination, but let's just say, on top, once again, it's going to be the Maxes. Look at the bodies on these individuals.
The Moose,
look at the man, he's out of shape, he's a big, fat slob, I don't like the man one bit. He should be he should be put away forever. He is a disgrace to human, I don't know the word,
relax,
but when
relax.
He sits around the house, he sits around the house.
Let me say one thing here. Moose is no problem. A couple of hits in his stomach, the man's out. Simple as that.
Colt.
You are going to get yours, let me tell you, buddy, because I'm not going to forget this or this or this. Never!
Look what he did to his head!
Never!
And Mad Max's head!
All right. On December 26th, the WWE presented their Christmas Spectacular that I mentioned earlier. It was in Terre Haute, Indiana, with a show main evented by an 8-team battle royal. On December 27th, a show was ran at the Armory in Elkhart, Indiana, with a 12-man battle royal. December 28th, the WWA returned to Fort Wayne, Indiana, with a show that was main evented by Dick the Bruiser and Moose Cholok against the World Warriors. They move on then to December 29th in Indianapolis at the Tyndall Armory. The show saw Bobo Brazil and Bobby Colt defeat the World Warriors to win the WWA Tag Team titles. In the main event of that show, Dick the Bruiser defeated J.R. Hogg in a cage match. So, would have been a pretty fun show there, right? A cage match featuring Bruiser and Hogg. The Hoggs were not afraid to, they were big guys, but they weren't afraid to, you know, move around, bump for Bruiser. So Bruiser liked to work them, and you put them in a cage. That probably would have been a pretty fun match that the crowd would have got into. And, of course, Bobo and Bobby winning the tag titles from the World Warriors would have been exciting at the time as well. We are back to television. The episode aired on December 30th, 1984, and featured The Gambler with Saul Creechman against Chris Carter. Saul Creechman wrestling himself against Roger Ruffin. Jerry Graham Jr. against El Bracero in a no DQ strap match. Roger Kirby against Gary Lawler. And the WWE Tag Champions, the World Warriors versus Calypso Jim and Stormy Granzi. Of course, TV had not caught up to the recent results in the at the Tyndall Armory in Indianapolis. On this episode, it's still the World Warriors still represented as tag champs. So I'm sure that would have been announced, corrected, revealed, whatever, how you want to say it, in the January episodes of TV. As they recorded and turned those around. Let's take a little pause here for some more audio, this time from Jerry Graham Jr., and then we'll take a break and come back and close it all up.
Fans coming in now should be Dr. Jerry Graham. Here he comes now. We're waving him in. He's bragging, shaking the hands of Creechman and Mad Max. He's obviously glad that Creechman won. He's a friend of Dr. Graham. Here he is now. Dr. Graham, you're coming in here awful happy due to the fact your friend Mr. Creechman won. Absolutely. And now you're in a strap match against Elberson.
That's right. It's a Mexican strap match with a Mexican. And when I win, that will mean I've beaten him on his own turf.
I notice you're coming out here without your protege, the great Wojo.
Well, I'm the one that trains Wojo. He can show me nothing. I certainly don't need Wojo to help me in this match. I'm going to do it with my two hands, hard, rough, and tough. Wojo's probably could sit home and watch this one on TV.
Well, good luck then, Dr. Graham.
Available on all streaming platforms, it's professional wrestling's greatest, largest, privately owned wrestling library. All the classic hits, flips, slams, and pins of yesteryear are on one place. It's Ultimate Classic Wrestling. Check out the Nature Boy Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Mr. USA Tony Atlas, Tito Santana, Rick Martel, a who's who of professional wrestling's greatest spotlight stars ever to grace the squared circle, all in one place. Grab the best seat in the house for memories and mayhem on Ultimate Classic Wrestling.
Hey guys, Ray Russell here. Lots of new stuff happening here at WrestleCopia. If you haven't checked out our website at WrestleCopia.com, it's a great way to keep up with the latest episodes of all of your favorite Copia programming, from the Wrestling Memory Grenade to Regional Wrestling with the Territory Talk, the Wrestling Stoop with the legendary Bob Roop, and of course all of those programs also available at your favorite podcast streaming platforms. And if you want to stay up to date with everything going on in the Copia world, all the latest news, random thoughts, fun videos, pictures, and more, make sure to join the more than 33,000 followers over at facebook.com/wrestlinggrenade. Don't be left out. And last, but definitely not least, it's what keeps the entire machine going. I'm talking about patreon.com/wrestlecopia. We appreciate your support in helping us pay the bills to keep the WrestleCopia Podcast Network running and enabling us to continue to bring you all the quality programming that we offer.
All right, that gives you a little taste of what's going on and a look at the WWE in December 1984. You can see a lot of talent there who would go on to continue to work as they transition over to Bruiser Bedlam, right? Of course, Jerry Graham Jr., Chris Carter, Wojo, El Bracero, lots of those guys. You can see some of the guys who are more Indiana-based and in that area who didn't move over or just weren't used. Of course, the World Warriors would go on to do many other things. Supermax would be Eli the Eliminator. He did have a run in Mid-South, but he also worked a little in the AWA. Mad Max was Sam DeCero, who went on, he's from Chicago, went on to found Windy City Wrestling, which is a very major promotion in the area a short time after. And he worked for Mad Max, dude. They tweaked their looks some, because if you listen to the interview I did with the World Warriors and Saul Creechman, it's in the archives. They did not like Sam DeCero, John Richmond, the two guys in the World Warriors, did not like doing the Road Warrior clone thing that they were doing, right, with the black and the face paint stuff. They hated that. They would rather do something a little different, something of their own. And that's what they did after the WWA. They kind of tweaked their looks, their gimmicks, and everything. Continued to work together some, though, primarily in Chicago, again, Windy City Wrestling in that area. But you'll see what's right, the things that are happening here. A lot of things that always worked for Bruiser, he continued to do, using himself, using Bobo Brazil, using Moose Cholak. And I know a lot of people say a lot of negative things about using these guys when they were so old. And I understand that. I do, trust me. But being someone from Indiana, these guys were next level legendary. Everybody in Indiana had a Dick the Bruiser story at that time. So even at their age, getting to see them on a show, getting to see them on TV was still very, very cool. And I would venture to say probably still helping draw what they were drawing, right? I don't think the other guys were established enough that if you didn't have a Bruiser or a Cholak or a Brazil on the show, that they would draw the same numbers, right? People still came to see them despite their age. And again, I do understand the criticism, but there is a flip side to that. And the fact that, you know, Bruiser is, he's truly kind of fighting for survival here, right? Again, the climate's changing. If you've heard the stories, right, Bruiser's wife was always, didn't really like pro wrestling. They had a home in Florida. I'm sure she was putting a little pressure on him of, let's slow down, back out, or just retire altogether. Let's be done with this and let's just, you know, move to Florida or whatever. And of course, Bruiser didn't do that, right? Bruiser was working shows and making appearances right up to the time he died. But you can see this is kind of the climate, right? And not only is this a look at the WWA in December 1984, but it's also, this is very similar to other territories at the time, right? And some of the same problems and things they were facing. But being a kid at this time, I consumed all wrestling that was on TV that I could watch, anything and everything, and I loved it. But I had watched the WWA with my grandmother for a few years at this point. Been to a couple shows as a young man at that point, and I knew the WWA was our wrestling, right? I got that enough at that time, even being on the tail end, to know. So it was still very cool to see it on TV. And I was very sad when, you know, a few years later when it was completely done. So there will be more future deep dives in the WWE. So be sure to watch social media because you will have a chance to submit questions for these episodes if you would like. Speaking of, follow me on social media. I'm on pretty much any platform. Just look up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty or at The Dave Dynasty and you can find me. Also, be sure to subscribe to me on YouTube for lots of classic wrestling content, including the WWE episodes of television from December 1984 and all of my other various podcasts. Go check out all of the WrestleCopia Network podcasts. You can find the individual shows on your favorite podcast platforms, or you can visit WrestleCopia.com. Also, be sure to check out my friends at the Ultimate Classic Wrestling Library. Visit ClassicWrestling.net to sign up for your account and then download the app on all of your smart devices. And last, guys, I'd like to encourage you to please subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform, whatever you're listening to us on. Give us a subscribe. And then also, go just take a minute, give us a rating and review. That helps us in those algorithms, helps us pop up as suggested listens. That's a huge way to help the show. So make sure you subscribe. Do not miss any of the weekly episodes. Thank you once again, guys. Hopefully you enjoyed this look at the WWA in December 1984. And until next episode, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
Fans, we brought you All-Star Championship Wrestling. This is Sam Manager thanking you for being with us and saying until next time, so long, everyone.